This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Véronique de Rougy, research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, traveling. I speak with her in Paris about two parts of the COVID relief recovery the Biden administration is advancing. Neither right now is a program indefinitely. The first one, the checks to families with small children, any children under 18, is part of a COVID relief bill, and I read from the Wall Street Journal editorial on this matter. The history of government entitlements is that they inevitably expand, often into something far different than how they began. There's no better example than the, quote, child tax credit, end quote, that is now expanding into a costly guaranteed basic income for families with children. This is a challenge in social policy and the role of government, and it's moving through Congress with little scrutiny. Véronique, a very good evening to you. As I understand, there are numbers attached to this COVID relief bill remedy for families with children, small children and children up to 18 years of age. There are different amounts, and the checks are going out now. However, the question you ask and the question the Wall Street Journal asks is, does this answer the challenge of childhood poverty? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It really doesn't. It depends on how you look at it. If you look at it in the very short term, there is no doubt that putting money in the pocket of people will raise their income and get them slightly out of poverty, at least temporarily. But what really matters is intergenerational poverty and also income mobility, as you know. And unfortunately, what we know from these type of experiments, which, by the way, we've had these type of programs before the welfare reform of the 90s, where you give money to people independently of whether they're looking for a job or not, is that actually they really did not help in the most important aspect of poverty, which is like it keeps people stuck. It creates disincentive to work. It creates some disincentive to get married. And it really certainly doesn't help childhood poverty. And by the way, incidentally, for all the name about calling it, all the commentary calling it an anti-poverty program, considering that one part of the credit starts phasing out for families of $400,000, it's not really quite about poverty alone.
Yes, that puzzles me because the terms of this mean that families doing very well with homes and school districts and health care are getting subsidized the same as families, as you refer to, in the late 20th century. Many of those, my memory is dim about what they were called, different acronyms. Many of those poverty programs were targeted just at people under a certain ability, a certain income, or with no income whatsoever. And with it went housing, healthcare, all the other variety of needs of families. So what is the thinking about making checks available to families that clearly have income, have careers, have homes? Why is it the COVID explanation?
So the Democrats' support for it, understandably, is they want to create a government from cradle to grave, literally. And they also, people understand that the more general a program is, the harder it is to get rid of it, right? So people who are getting it, who are in the upper echelon of incomes, they're getting into the form of a tax credit. It's only the actual cash in the bank account is for those taxpayers who have no tax liability. for the most part. And so as for the conservatives is a mix of things, right? The conservatives have learned during Trump that a message that is pro-family and that is kind of pro-worker and pro-family is actually better than, is the new cry of rally rather than the Reagan kind of everyone to work, you know, just accountability, responsibility, and all of that, you know, free market nonsense, as they like to say. So I think, I mean, it's a slight difference, but in the end, what you have is you have the left and the right united in these type of programs in the way that we haven't seen in a long time.
Let's move to another program that you write about and the Wall Street Journal writes about, which is paid family leave. Again, I believe this is not fixed. It's now part of the COVID relief to paid family leave. However, the experience, and you report in the Wall Street Journal report, the experience that this is either inapplicable or fails to satisfy the need. What is the experience in Europe? I know that European countries such as Germany have arrangements like this. Is it different in Europe than it is, than it would be in America, paid family leave?
Yes. Well, so right now, I mean, I want to dispel immediately like a belief that is very widespread. America does not have a federal program, a national governmental program of paid leave. However, it has a vibrant, flexible network of private paid leave provision by private employers. Roughly 65%, these are government data, of workers report benefiting from paid leave. In Europe, yes, this program is extremely widespread, provided and mandated by the government, a mix of both. It depends on the country, often paid for by the companies, but mandated by the government with some form of incentives. It depends really on the country. And all of this, what we know, has actually backfired. On one hand, the benefit, the visible benefit, is when you have children, no matter how many children you can have, for instance, in Denmark, up to almost a year, 52 weeks of vacation. But there's actually, like everything else, there's no free lunch. And what we see is it gets backfired against women for the most part. And they have fewer hours, lower pay. It doesn't fix any paid gap, like the Democrats like to say this program will address. And an important element is that actually it creates some strong disincentive to promote women to higher position jobs.
The concern then is with both these programs in response to the COVID crisis. I understand that, but it does look like these would be quickly become entitlements. And that means that they would join other entitlements that weigh down on the federal debt, the federal government's ability to invest in other programs and actually to create conditions where there's prosperity widespread. At this point, these programs do resemble things that I've read in Europe, and you're telling me they're not as successful in Europe as the original hopes were. Is there a debate in Europe in our final minute? Is there a debate in Europe to cut back on these programs? Are there voices raised saying this is no longer useful?
Yeah, well, there's been in Nordic countries in particular, where most of the research is because they provide the most generous programs. There's actually, I think, some sort of, first, they've cut a lot of their welfare programs. Right. I mean, in the when they were really suffering from all the consequences of this very generous government that they had. But I think there is now a conversation about whether this is actually working as well as they want to. The problem is, unfortunately, the U.S. seems to be really committed to copying the Europeans even when we already have the evidence, these programs don't work. And just to come back to the poverty aspect of this, right? A lot of the workers in the U.S. that do not have access to paid leave usually are low skill, low pay, hourly workers. And these type of national programs, they don't do very much. They don't do anything for those guys. So it's not even going to address the question, the problem that we're saying we want to address.
Veronique de Rougier, the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, traveling in Paris, looking at the American ambitions from the European point of view. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.